I don't know about you, but I look forward to coming to our worship here. I know we're little, but I love to hear the word. And it's also particularly interesting that we can share joy with one another. Not with everybody, but oftentimes we have some good news and you don't always have somebody to share it with, so it's good to share joy. We want to talk about joy. I talked to Mike over there. He preached on it a couple of months back. But also, occasionally we have some trials. Things are not going so well. And so we can share, once again, not with everybody, but sometimes we pair up. And I think as we grow, we need to broaden who we share with and understand one another so we can do life together. I appreciate being able to bring the word. The blast can be dismissed if there's a teacher. Thank you. We're going to share in James this morning, if you want to turn to it. It'll be in towards the back of your Bible. Our family group spent months. How many months did we spend in James, Claude?
Five
months in James. And I was able to share part of James with the leadership a little bit as we discussed it. So it might be a review for some of y'all who have been through James. I know Linda taught two ladies groups in James. And so we'll spend some time there. We're going to do about a dozen verses. And I appreciate so much Bill Dempsey. You know, I've been studying this, James, for months to come up with maybe one message. And Bill comes up with, 50 plus funerals and weddings and hacks them and everything else he does. So I do appreciate him studying all the time. While in prayers, we get ready to read, as been our custom. If you'll join me, please. Thank you, Father, for our church. Thank you that your presence are always with us. Lord, as a church, we've failed. We know that. As individuals, we failed. Thank you that you're patient with us and that you allow us to continue to grow and to understand. I pray that it would be clear to us what the word says and that we might act accordingly. I ask that your spirit, which is in this room, would enlighten us as we continue to worship and pray and understand your word. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to do James 1, and I'm going to do a few verses and then just skip just a few and come back. So follow along with me. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown, tossed by wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable in all they do. Skipping to verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. God can't be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, leads to death. So a little bit of interaction here. We've got a small group, so if you've got a comment or if I'm out of line, or let me know. But I'm going to ask you a trivia question. Name as many brothers of James that you can. You raised your hand, Linda? Jesus, Gene, you got the passage it talks about his brothers.
Isn't this a carpenter? Isn't this Mary's brother, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they know, and they took offense at him.
Okay. He had four brothers. Jude, the book of Jude, was one of them, and James was another one. Now, what's it like to grow up with four brothers, if you're Jesus? I mean, come on, I don't know what his life was like. It doesn't say a whole lot, but it may have been difficult. We know that Mary and Joseph were godly people, so maybe it wasn't too difficult. I don't know. We really don't know. But there's a couple. It's all sticking together just a second. A couple passages that I've asked a couple of you to read. And Ryan?
John 7:5 says, three of his own brothers did not believe in him.
His own brothers did not believe in him. Stephanie?
Mark 3:20-22 says, then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. And his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind.
Okay. So his brothers didn't believe, and they thought he was out of his mind. So how does James say, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah? Something had to change. Something had to change majorly. Mike, would you read Corinthians 15, 6 through 7?
1 Corinthians 6, 15, 6 and 7. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles.
It says he appeared to James and all the apostles. Now, there are four James in the New Testament, so we can't say definitively this is James. Some of the other James were apostles, so it's likely. So James was transformed. He said, no longer did he believe. He said, I'm a servant. And the meaning behind that word I read, actually I learned it from our Bible studies and other sources, meant a volunteer slave. He says, I've become a volunteer slave to God and to Jesus the Messiah. Or Jesus Christ, my half-brother. Wow, what a changed life. James is a doer of the word, too, if you read it. A lot of people say theology is not real prevalent, but he says, if you're going to walk with Christ, live it. And that's what we're going to be talking about here a little bit. And I had a teacher, I don't remember what teacher it was. I think I shared this once before, but taught me the one thing that I remember is when you look at something, who, what, when, where, and why, and how. And so I'd like to set the stage a little bit before we dig into the text completely. So it's addressed to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. 12 tribes is usually a Jewish term that means Jewish people. Israel, north and south, the 12 tribes that makes up the country and the faith of Israel. That's who it's addressed to. And he says, brothers and sisters, it's addressed to Jewish people who became believers. And so that's who he's writing to, who are scattered among the nations. And Claude, would you read from Acts 7?
while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this son against them. When he heard he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul heard
Thank you. So this is a scenario. Things were not going well. Stephen got stoned, and people started leaving. It was a tense time. Herod Agrippa I ended up killing a couple of his wives and family members and started persecuting the Christians. Later on, Nero. And so the Christians, Jewish Christians, were getting out of town. They were going to these other countries to get away. And I don't know what your news source is. Here lately, it's been Roe versus Wade. Before that, it was the January 6th insurrection. Before that, it was baby formula. But if you go back, you remember the war in Ukraine. I don't know if you saw some of the videos of people who were dispersed. A grandmother who lost her baby's grandchildren. People whose homes were burned down and destroyed. Families separated. There was a scene of disabled children that were all left behind, and people got on trains and flooded other countries. And talk about trials, talk about persecution. Wow. So James says, verse 2, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you have faced trials of many kinds. What's pure joy? I looked around and tried to figure that out. I got a prop here. I know what joy is. I've experienced it. You talk to Mike if you want to know, but what's pure joy? Now, I'm going to admit that this illustration's a little bit lame, but I'm going to do it anyway, because they're not going to fire me. So last week at the Father's Day, that was wonderful. Brats, donuts, casserole. I'm getting a big grin and a thumbs up from Claude back there. And I had some fruit, too, because I wanted to make it healthy. Plus pancakes that I think Stephanie and others helped with. And I love pancakes. I only had room for one. And I loved to really littered up with syrup. That's the way it really tastes good. And so I'm going to read the ingredients on this. I don't want to ruin your next breakfast. Corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, water, natural and artificial flavors, cellulose gum, salt, caramel color, sodium benzoate, sorbic acid, and sodium something or other. I don't know what it is. Enjoy your maple syrup? Well, Linda found this, or somebody was telling us about this. This is pure maple syrup. You know, they put a hole in a tree in the bucket, you've probably seen it. I don't know exactly what pure means, but I can tell you when I eat this, I know the difference. This is pure. I don't know what pure joy is, but when I experience it, I know it. I know that God's been involved in something. Maybe I've seen something, maybe in nature, maybe in human relationships. So pure joy, we know it. There's other forms of joy, just being alive. But pure joy, pure syrup compared to whatever. So James has given us a choice here. He says, consider, and it also means to count, or it could mean to evaluate joy when you have trials. Now, I know that's not easy. And if you haven't had trials at all this week, raise your hand. Okay, we're in the same boat. And it said, does your Bible say, if you have trials? No. It says, when you have trials. We're going to have them. Probably have them today. Maybe had them this morning. And I'm just going to graze over. I mean, there's millions of different kinds of trials. But it could be social. You're not accepted by a group. You're outward, physical, could be health limitations, speech, hearing, others, sickness, death. Could be mental. You're not the sharpest tool in a mail, in a toolbox. And when you're around other people, you feel insecure or out of place. Maybe you've been abused in the past or maybe even now. Could be financial. $5 a gallon of gas, go to the grocery store. Maybe you've had to file bankruptcy. We just found a friend of ours worked 15 years caring for children and walked in and somebody bought the business and got fired. It's got to be rough. Family, maybe there's tensions, daughter, son, spouses. Maybe you've had hardship or death. Maybe you're involved in the courts or justice. You've been somehow taken advantage of. So that's not all of them. It says various trials. I listed some of the heavy ones, but you know, it's been close to 100 several days. If you can imagine with me, your grass is way too tall and you go out to get the lawnmower. You search for the gas can. You have to run up and get gas. You come back and fill it up. And you pull on that rope until your arm hurts. Do you count it pure joy? Maybe, maybe not. I know I don't always count it pure joy, but this is a choice we have when we have trials. We can choose joy or we can choose to endure it. Now, we're going to do both. And it's a process. We don't always do that, but we work at it. Let me continue. So trials of many kind, because you know the testing of your faith, and that's what trials are, the testing of our faith to see what we're made of, what we believe, how we believe. Produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work that you may be mature, complete, not lacking in anything. So the byproduct of trials is testing of our faith, and it can produce perseverance. We can hang in there, we can keep going and become more mature. Not for our sake, but it's for the faith that we believe in God. I believe that God can make it, help me make it through this trial. Is it fun? Not necessarily. Matt Chandler said, it's not about perfection, it's about the process. We're going to fail. It's not about perfection. It's about the process of extending our faith. Then it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You ever lack wisdom? I know I have. There's several things here. It says God gives wisdom generously. He gives it without checking our faults. We can have our faults, we can have our sins, but if we ask for wisdom, it said he'll give it to us. We have to ask. I was in a situation not too long ago, shared a bit of a story. I was the senior, perhaps the more, had more wisdom, or maybe I'm just the wise guy, I don't know, but it was tense. Two people were very emotional about a situation, and I was in the middle. And there's got to be a solution to this, and I was familiar with this verse. I said, Lord, I need wisdom. I don't want to be a doubter. I need wisdom. And I listened to both sides for quite a while. And I couldn't come up with anything. I didn't say anything. I was deflated for a while. And then I realized later on, that's exactly what God wanted me to do. Is to not say anything in that particular case. And that's not always the case. And so God showed me that if I ask for wisdom, I need to believe that he's going to give it to me, even if I'm looking to solve it in my way by giving what I think maybe is words of wisdom. Not saying that from time to time we do give words of wisdom to one another, but not always. So he gives it to us, if we ask without fault, it'll be given to him. Verse 6, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable in all they do. Well, that's pretty harsh. Don't doubt, or you'll be like that wave at the shore. Wow. It's pretty hard not to doubt. As I mentioned twice already, it's about not about perfection, it's about the process. And I'd like you to turn to bear with me a minute. I think Bill alluded to this passage a while back. Remember the story in Mark? Mark chapter 9, actually. It's quite a long verse. Jesus was healing, and a man came up to him and said, listen, I got a son from birth that's been trouble. He tries to throw himself in a fire. Sometimes he throws himself in the water. And I don't know what to do. And I pick it up in verse 17. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire and water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus' reply, my emphasis, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible under beliefs. Immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe, help me to overcome my unbelief. Help me to overcome my unbelief. When we have doubts and we don't have wisdom, we need just to cry out, say, I don't understand this. I don't know the solution to this. Help me with my unbelief. I want to do what's right, but I don't always know how. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Help me with my unbelief. And it seems harsh because he said, we'd be double-minded, which basically means a hypocrite. But once again, we're learning. We can get better. We can do better. We can rely on God so much more. I think I may have heard it here when somebody said they were sharing the gospel with somebody, and they were saying that, I know about church. You're all a bunch of hypocrites. And the guy says, well, you'd be welcome. We all are double-minded. We don't always go to wisdom, but we have that choice. We have that choice. I think there's a difference, too, between wisdom. There's earthly wisdom. We read Socrates and philosophy and all that, but I think there's wisdom that we get from God when we don't know of any solution and he gives it to us. And we can give God the glory for that. So there is a difference. I'm going to hop to verse 12. Those verses in between kind of hit a different subject. It said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trials. Blessed, happy, content. When we persevere under trials, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love us. So he's saying, keep after it, persevere. Actually, John MacArthur says it's the crown which is life. It's a day-to-day thing. We'll be blessed when we do that. I don't know how to describe blessed. It's kind of like trying to describe pure. When we do persevere, we know we're content. Something inside of us says, it's okay. We've done it. You've done it. God's done it through us. We don't always have that. We don't always persevere. But when we do, God gets blessed. Then we're getting into I want to back up a little bit. When we have trials, God allows us trials. Would you agree with that? I mean, and God's in charge, and we use the word sovereign in the church. Sometimes it's kind of a church word. But anybody have a description what sovereign might mean? The boss?
Yeah.
All power and authority. God knows we've got trials. He understands that he's sovereign. He's over it all. He's the king. He's totally in control. Nothing surprises him. Verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. I'll date myself. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? A few do. He used to say, the devil made me do it. And it was kind of a comedy at the time. It was kind of cute, but yeah. God doesn't tempt. Sometimes, somewhere I heard that I discovered a nugget. You know, when you're mining gold, you discover a nugget. And sometimes in the scriptures, I read it and I study it and I go, ha, there's a nugget, I get it. Well, sorry. In verse 13, when tempted, that word tempted is the same root word, it's the same word as trials in the Greek. I don't know Greek. I just read about it a little bit. It's just a different tense. So when we have trials, it can be a temptation for us if we yield to it, or it can be joy. It's our choice. But it's the same root word. God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he tempt anyone. Well, I sure have a lot of temptation from day to day. How about you? Different things. But he explains it. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. At one time in my life when I was about 14 years old, that's back when records, 45 RPMs, were popular. We used to have a place in Collinsville where I grew up that had records that you could buy. Well, I went into the record store. Well, actually, they sold appliances, but I wanted to buy a record. I didn't have any money, but I did have a bag. And while I was there, I managed to discreetly, I thought, pick up a record and put it in my bag. I know you haven't done anything like that, but this is my story. Well, I didn't know up in the balcony was the owner up there, and he said, let's call the police. Let's call the police. Well, when it talks about being dragged away by my own desire, it's something I saw. It's something I wanted. I gave in to my desire. I acted on my desire, and it could have led to death. I just got a good scare and a good lecture afterwards. But those kind of issues, he says, leads to death. It doesn't mean spiritual death, but it means it can. When he talks about conceived in that, he's talking about making reference to birth, you know, conception, growth, labor, birth. I know very little about that, but this is the analogy that he's doing. That's the way sin operates in our life. If we dwell on it, we act on it, it can consume us. Well, it seemed like I had a whole lot more, but I don't, so you might get lunch early today. But I would just summarize that in the center here is trials. We're going to have those trials. We have a choice. Count up your joy and do the best we can to become more, to persevere and to become mature. Increase our faith that we could serve God now and in heaven. Or we can take these temptations and these trials and say, I'm going to see what the world has to do about this. Or sometimes they go back and forth, but this end is it ends up in failure. We can try it. Might work once in a while. But the world doesn't usually have the answer for us. So in closing, as we evaluate our lives, pure joy or give in to temptation. And with that, I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll get to hear another blessing from Ty. Thank you for your leading hand in our lives. Thank you that you give us choices. Thank you that you are sovereign, you care over us in so many ways. Guide us now, we pray. Amen.